right, I'd like to go ahead and call this meeting to order and invite you all to join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now I'd like to ask for the city clerk to give us a roll call vote of, or is that a roll call of the Planning Commission?
Commissioner Miller?
Here.
Commissioner Penniman?
Here.
Commissioner Sorokin? Vice Chair Fullerton?
Here.
And Chair Maynard?
Here.
We will now go on to the public forum. The public forum is the part of the agenda where any member of the public may speak to any item that is not on tonight's agenda. If there's anything that you would like to share or inquire of the Planning Commission, please submit a speaker slip now, and we'll go ahead and take that public forum. Do we have any speaker slips for public forum?
Chair Maynard, I do not have any speaker slips, but if there are any members of the Zoom webinar who wish to speak, please raise your hand and we'll call on you. And we don't have any attendees on Zoom at this time.
Okay, not seeing anybody peeping up from the audience. I'll go on to the next item in our agenda. That is our amendments and adjustments to the agenda. Director Imhoff, do we have any amendments or adjustments to tonight's agenda?
Madam Chair, we do have one adjustment. If you're willing, I'd like to take my report out of order and bring that to the top of the agenda tonight.
Yes, I think that will be fine. Are there any other items, amendments, or adjustments?
No, that's the only one.
Okay. With that, we will go on to the director's report, which has been recently moved to the next agenda item.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I have three welcomes and introductions, one congratulations, and one tearful goodbye. So I'm going to start with the introductions and first say welcome to our two newest Planning Commission members who are joining us tonight for the first time, Carrie Penniman to my left and Rita Sorokin. Welcome and thank you in advance for your service. I think that you'll find that the work of the Planning Commission is important and very interesting and certainly something that we as a planning staff are very engaged in, and we very much appreciate you joining us. I'd also like to introduce our new Commission Clerk, Nick Norman, who's joining us tonight for the first time. We were able to steal him from the Ivy Rec and Park District, where he was the clerk for several years, and we're very lucky to have him join us as well and look forward to working with you as well. One congratulations. I'd like to congratulate Blake Markham, who's sitting next to Nick, for his appointment and promotion to management analyst in the city manager's office. So Blake has been serving as a public records specialist in the city clerk's office for a little over 2 years now. He was previously at County of Santa Barbara in elections for some 6 years, and now he's moving on and stepping up into the city manager's office. And so congratulations to you, Blake, and thank you for all of your service to us here at the Planning Commission as well. And that brings us finally to one thank you and one goodbye to our outgoing Planning Commissioner, Jason Chapman. And for that, I'd like to invite former Commissioner Chapman now to the podium and also our chair as well, and we can say a few words. So, Jason, Commissioner Chapman, this is typically how we do this. We invite you up and give you an opportunity to say a few words, but I'd like to just say on behalf of the planning staff, the City of Goleta, and the Planning Commission, thank you very much for your service over these last 2 years. It's been certainly memorable, and I've personally enjoyed very much having you on the commission, your thoughtfulness, your soft-spoken approach to the and seriousness when it comes to the work of the Planning Commission. We'd like to present you with this plaque acknowledging your service, and I'm just gonna read it and then allow Chair Maynard to say anything that she'd like to say as well. But this plaque reads, "In special recognition of Jason Chapman, Planning Commissioner, in appreciation of your dedication and commitment to the City of Goleta, from February 7th, 2023 to February 4th, 2025. So almost exactly 2 years of service. And we hope that you remember us and come back. And we wish you certainly all the best as you move out of the area and leave us behind. But hopefully you have good memories of your time here and the work that we did together.
I would also love to share my appreciation for you, previous Commissioner Chapman. You always had very thoughtful questions, did incredibly diligent research into our staff packages and into each item that came forward. I appreciate that you always challenged us to think more broadly and more deeply on each of the issues, and really helped us to think through all the complexities that we worked on. I learned a lot from you in your time on the commission, and you introduced new thinking to me that I will take into the next year as well. So thank you so much.
And Jason, if you'd like to say a few words, you're welcome to, no obligation. And I think we want to do a photo too with our city clerk.
Yeah, I had a lot I wanted to say, but it's hard now. I definitely just want to say thanks to the city for the opportunity. I was really encouraged as a younger person to get involved, and that encouragement really helped me to continue to stay involved. So definitely would say that to anybody, you know, in the room, if you're interested in getting involved, you know, don't wait, because, you know, your perspective is needed, and the perspective of, you know, all people. And even if you're not a resident, your perspective is needed if you might like to live and work here someday. And, you know, I just appreciate this commission's commitment to the seriousness of the job, and I welcome the new commissioners, and feel free to reach out if you've got any questions. It's a big job, especially when it comes to, you know, housing, and I never want people here to forget how much of a crisis is here in California, and I'll take this moment too, and that it's more important than ever that California and our cities are a welcoming home to people who especially aren't welcome elsewhere right now. So thank you so much for the opportunity, and I'll really miss it here.
And the only other item I'd like to mention as part of my report is that we're throwing our new commissioners into the deep end of the pond, and we have a very busy schedule ahead. Our next meeting will be on March 10th, when we, at this point, have actually, I believe, 4 agenda items that you'll be seeing ahead. So welcome again, and we're gonna be rolling up our sleeves and diving right in.
Wonderful. With that, we will go on to the next item, which is item A1 25078, selection of the chair and vice chair for 2025. And do we have any guidance from staff in terms of the process you'd like us to follow?
Good evening, Chair and Commissioners. I'll just give a little bit of background for this item. Our commission select a chair and vice chair from amongst their members every year. And this item allows you the opportunity to do just that. As a reminder on the process, after I finish this explanation, we'll open up the floor to commissioners to nominate a chair. And at that time, you don't need a second on that. We'll listen to see if there's any other nominations, and then we'll ratify the nomination with a roll call vote. We'll then move on to the nomination of the vice chair, which will follow the same exact structure. And without any further ado, we'll go ahead and open up the floor for nominations for chair.
I think I saw you hit the button, though. I don't see it here. So Commissioner Miller?
Yes, I'd like to nominate Commissioner Fullerton for chair.
Okay, we have a nomination for Commissioner Fullerton for chair. Are there any other nominations for chair? Hearing none, we can now move on to a roll call vote. And commissioners, if you would also please lock in your votes on your pads in front of you. Commissioner Sorotkin?
Yes.
Commissioner Penniman?
Yes.
Commissioner Miller?
Yes.
Chair Maynard?
Yes.
And Vice Chair Fullerton?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Motion passes. With that, we'll move on to the nominations for Vice Chair. Are there any nominations for Vice Chair?
I see Commissioner Fullerton, or now Chair Fullerton.
Yeah. I would like to nominate Ann Miller for Vice Chair.
Okay. We have a nomination for Commissioner Miller. Are there any other nominations for Vice Chair? Seeing none, we can now move on to a roll call vote. And once again, if you can lock in your votes on your screens. Commissioner Sorotkin?
Yes.
Commissioner Penniman?
Yes.
Commissioner Maynard?
Yes.
Commissioner Miller?
Yes.
And Chair Fullerton?
Yes.
Okay. If you would allow me just one moment to swap around some nameplates, everybody can remain where they're seated.
Do you want at least us to switch seats? Because I think the powers here are better. Are you ready to move to the next item?
Oh, sorry, just one second while I move these seats real quick. Okay, all done.
Okay, the next item is B1. Can you please read this into the record?
Yes, that is item B1, time extension request for development plan and conditional use permit, revision associated with the Chabad of Santa Barbara, new synagogue project at 6045 Stowe Canyon Road, APN 077-170-044, case number 24-0007-TEX.
Okay, thank you. Do you have a staff report?
I do. Good evening, Chair and Commissioners. I am Lisa Prossy. I'm the current planning manager. I am filling in. Mary Chang was going to do this item tonight, but she's under the weather. So you get me. And let's see if I can get this to move. So as Mr. Markham mentioned, this request is for a time extension for the Abad of Santa Barbara with their new synagogue building and site improvements. That approval was reviewed, that project was reviewed by the Planning Commission in December of 2019. As with most development plans, it had a five-year time frame, which had it go till December of 2024. They were unable to construct the building at this point in time, and so they filed for time extension in November, which was in keeping with the time frames established in Title 17. If the Planning Commission grants this two-year time request, the new expiration date would be December 9th of 2026, as indicated. According to Title 17, the granting of extensions must be based upon the finding of good cause and that all the original findings for approval can be made, which, as outlined in the resolution that we have attached, believe can be made. As also indicated in the justification statement, the COVID-19 pandemic really hindered their fundraising campaigns, and also with high interest rates, the congregation has not been able to secure financing for the construction, among other reasons that are listed in their justification letter. Staff does believe that the reasons they listed are compelling, and we also are supportive of a two-year request because a longer time frame would provide the congregation with the time to prepare drawings and secure the funding that is needed for this project to move forward. sorry, all of a sudden I'm coughing. Just for a reminder, this is the site. The project location is on Stowe Canyon. It's this parcel that's outlined in blue. The current uses, there is a residence on the property that's used by the rabbi. There is a building that's used as a synagogue, and there's a school and a daycare present. The new project, the approved project, would build a new synagogue building, some new storage buildings, and also make some site improvements. Also, this is a site plan. I know it's really small, but shows how the site would be configured. And then here are some elevations of what the new synagogue building would look like, and what the elevation would look like from Stowe Canyon Road. So staff's recommendation is for the Planning Commission to approve the time extension as requested. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. We do have the applicant team is here as well for any questions you might have.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any questions for staff? Commissioner Maynard?
My understanding from the staff report and understanding of this project is that this is following the new zoning ordinance. Is that correct?
The time extension request is, yes.
Okay. Sometimes we have projects that are older that essentially are bringing old versions of the zoning ordinance with it. This one, with this time extension, would be still based on the new zoning ordinance.
The time extension, yes. The mm-hmm. original project was based upon the old zoning code.
Okay.
But, yes.
Was there anything in this project that we're aware of that's inconsistent with the current zoning code?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Thank you.
Do we have any other questions? I just had one question. Is there anything that would need to change as part of this, or this is only an extension?
This is only an extension to give them two additional years.
Okay. I think we don't have any other questions. Commissioner, Vice Chair Miller.
First of all, thank you for extending, because, you know, I'm sure the project is wonderful and is very needed and is very desired by the congregation and the community. So thank you for that. And so the only reason that I understand it then that you're asking for the extension is just because of a funding issue, whether it's from banks or whether it's from donations from the congregation or the community. So is that true that that if you could just clarify that?
Sure. Steve Fort with SEPS Land Use Consulting. That, in addition to a couple of other things that were summarized in our letter that I think is part of the staff report, maybe attachment C, I think. COVID-19 came up, and that impacted their, between the approval then and now, that impacted their ability to really have meaningful congregational meetings or team meetings during that time. And it hampered their ability to get a capital campaign started. Financing, like you said, has been a challenge with the sort of shock with the interest rates going up in the last couple of years here. But yes, financing, like you said. And also the situation in Israel is that became, what I want to say, it, I guess it started in October of 23. That's impacted, there had an impact on, you know, the entire congregation, family members. People were concerned about others with relationships in Israel. And sort of the culmination of that is now they've also hired Jay Blatter's firm, who's here with us, and they need some time to work on the construction plans, and we need to get into the plan check process and the zoning clearance process, and that's going to take some time. Like I've been saying, we have, hopefully, if you grant the extension, we'll have till December 26 to have started work. So we have to have started work by then. So there's quite a bit to do still with plan checks and getting plans in order and financing. So we're probably going to need a lot of that 2 years to get started and demonstrate that. Yeah, I think it's kind of generally you've called for an inspection or you've done some work in the field by December 26.
Okay. Thank you. Yep. Commissioner Sorokin?
Thank you.
Just out of curiosity, you're asking for a two-year extension, but interest rates are still kind of high. And how realistic is a two-year extension?
Well, it's still going to be challenging. 2 years is the most we can ask for, and we're asking for 2 years. But it's still going to be challenging. And like I said, I think they're going to need a lot of that time to, you know, finish drawings, get through plan checks, start work, final design of stormwater and stormwater agreements and things like that need to be cleared for zoning clearance.
Okay, thanks. Any other questions? No? Okay, then we can open it for public comment. Do we have any public comment on this item?
Chair Fullerton, I do not have any speaker slips, but if any members of the public wish to speak on the Zoom webinar, please raise your hand and we'll call on you. And we don't have any members on Zoom.
Okay, then we will close public comment and go to deliberations. Do we have any comments, commissioners? Commissioner Maynard?
I think this is a really important project for our community, and I would support a time extension. I would support the time extension based on the impacts of COVID-19 and also the impacts of the war. I did want to note that I don't think that financing should be a reason for an extension, as we have seen with many, many projects. Financing alone can be claimed by almost any project for an extension. So I don't think the financing argument holds as strongly for me, but COVID-19 was a very unique challenge. The current war is a very unique challenge that I think really sets this extension request above and beyond and really meets, I think, the requirements of this project. I also note this project is fairly consistent with our new zoning ordinance, so though it's not required to follow the new zoning ordinance, I do believe it is consistent with our current guidelines. And so that also leans me towards supporting the project and the staff recommendation.
Okay, Vice Chair Miller.
Yes, I just wanted to say that, yes, I would support this project for all of the reasons that Commissioner Maynard just said, and just that, you know, all of the findings remain intact and valid. So in my mind, there really isn't a reason that we would not, that we should not extend it. So I'm in favor of extending it.
Hey, Commissioner Pennyman?
Yeah, I just reiterate the same support. I think COVID is a good reason. I see no red flags.
Okay, and I do agree as well. I think COVID is a very valid reason. And I also remember this project when I was on the design review board. I remember when you guys came and presented it, and it was a really beautiful, it's going to be a beautiful building. So, I support this extension, and I hope it works out that you can build this. Okay, so are we ready for a motion? Commissioner Maynard?
I make a motion to approve the time extension request for development plan and conditional use permit revision. Actually, sorry, let me read it this way. I make a motion to adopt Planning Commission Resolution 25-blank, entitled a resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Goleta, California, approving a 2-year time extension and adopting a notice of exemption for development plan and conditional use permit revision, case number 18-031-DP-CUPRV-DRB for Chabad of Santa Barbara Synagogue Project located at 6045 Stowe Canyon Road, Goleta, California, APN 077-170-044, case number 24-007-TEX.
Do we have a second?
Yes, I'll second.
Okay, can we get a roll call vote?
Yes, commissioners, please remember to lock in your votes. Commissioner Maynard?
Yes.
Commissioner Pennyman?
Yes.
Commissioner Sorokin?
Yes.
Vice Chair Miller?
Yes.
And Chair Fullerton?
Yes. Oh, sorry. Okay, motion approved unanimously. So moving on, the next item is C1. Can we have this read into the record?
Yes, that is item C1, General Plan/Coastal Land Use Plan 2024, Progress Report, and finding the report is exempt under the California Environmental Quality Act.
Okay, do we have a staff report?
Good evening, Chair and Commissioners, and welcome to the public. And the students from UCSB, I'm glad to see you here. So tonight's item is the General Plan Annual Progress Report for 2024. And we do this every year. And I want to emphasize that you'll see us up here, but we don't do all this. It's a citywide effort. As a matter of fact, putting the report together is a citywide effort. We're just delivering the message. Everyone, we all work on implementing the general plan. It's sort of the foundational tool for us to all stay within the bookends of the general plan. So you'll learn more about that tonight, about what we've implemented in this past fiscal year. I think, can you switch it to the next slide? So just a little background. General plan annual progress reports are required by state law, and they're required annually due to the state April 1st, and also to Housing and Community Development Department. And you'll learn more about that a little bit more tonight, but you'll also learn more about Housing and Community Development, or HCD, and their role in what we do here at City Hall at other meetings. But what the purpose is it's guided by state law, but it's to keep track of where we are at in our build out of our general plan, not so much like construction, but just building out what the vision is in the general plan. And then more specifically describing exactly what we did in this past year to implement our general plan. And then here's the tricky one for some of you is documenting progress towards our regional housing needs allocation. And we'll keep it simple and tonight, because from a reporting aspect, it really is simple, but it's a very complex topic. The hard part's done because we have a certified housing element now, and we have a little reprieve for the eight-year cycle that we're in. So, stand by for that. And then we have to give the housing types that were permitted in 2024. We have a nice tracking table that, shows, where we're at for this full eight-year cycle that we're in, that is established by state law and overseen by HCD. And so with that, I'm going to turn the presentation over to Andy Newkirk. He's a supervising planner in advanced planning, and we'll kind of run you down on the implementation status.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Wells?
Chair Fulton, Planning Commissioners, this presentation is definitely a high-level summary of some of the information in the report. The full report is provided as Exhibit A to Attachment 1 in the staff report. Gets longer every year, but there's a lot of material in there, so there's no way we could present kind of the full picture. So just a couple highlights as we go along here. So as Ann mentioned, one of the items that we do in the annual progress report is summarize the status of the general plan. So what's changed, what's pending, et cetera. So we just wanted to flag those for the commission. The adopted ones the commission sees as a recommending body to City Council on general plan amendments. So we had three in 2024, two of which the Planning Commission saw because there's a unique case. The first was housing element implementation items in the land use element, and that had to do with some of the development standards in the land use element related to height and lot coverage, and then also we removed a requirement in our land use element to require a conditional use permit for mixed use in Old Town. So those are all things identified in the housing element to implement during the eight-year planning cycle. The next item was the one Planning Commission did not see, and that was Measure G 2024, which is a voter initiative general plan amendment. So that passed in November. Technically, its effective date is in 2032, but we put it in the progress report as the action was taken in 2024, and we wanted to kind of memorialize that as, something that did occur within the year. And that Measure G 2024 relates to the limitations on developing certain agriculturally zoned parcels within the city or rezoning those sites. And then the third general plan amendment was to conservation element cell policy CE 1.5. This was fairly late in 2024, and that had to do with how we process changes to mapped ESHA and whether a project has to bring forward a general plan amendment or whether we change it so that we will do that in the future. We also, in the report, reference general plan initiations. So these are things that Planning Commission typically does not see. It's really a first step in the process of a general plan amendment. The initiation occurs at City Council. So we had five of those in 2024, one relating at San Pepe Golf Course to mapped ESHA, although that was initiated before the general plan amendment, so that may well not need that general plan amendment as part of that project. We had the South La Patera land use change, which is proposed from business park to general industrial. We had an initiation for safety and open space element amendments and environmental justice policies. More to come on that in short order. But those are different requirements to update the general plan that are spelled out in state law. So we're really just kind of making some adjustments there to the general plan based on kind of a handful of different requirements in state law. There is an amendment to all elements initiated for the local coastal program. So this is a requirement for the areas of the city within the coastal zone, which is, I think, 12% by area or 18% by, somewhere less than 20% by area, but kind of some areas in South Old Town and in Elwood. And getting a certified local coastal program is required for the city to have permit issuance authority in the coastal zone. And then the final one was a land use change at Los Carneros Business Park, and that proposal is from office and institutional to business park. So those are all being, those five initiated general plan amendments are all in different stages of processing, and of course, before any amendment would occur for any of those projects, there would be a recommendation hearing in front of the Planning Commission in the future. We also list the pending general plan amendments. So these are amendments that were initiated prior to 2024 that have not been approved and adopted by council yet, so we just flag those. First is the Goleta Annex to the Santa Barbara County Multi-Jurisdictional Hazard Mitigation Plan. So that's certainly a mouthful, and that would be an incorporation by reference of that document into our safety element. That can help with certain funding for disaster response within the city. There's a land use change and open space designation change for the Shelby parcel. That's a longstanding initiation that I think began in 2008. There's also the Kenwood Village land use change. That is another longstanding project, but we also, that the Kenwood Village site was also a housing element site. So we did a rezone of that in a general plan land use designation change as part of the housing element process as well. So that already now has the RH high density land use designation on that site. The next one would be CE 2.2, that's conservation element, subpolicy 2.2 related to our streamside protection areas and how we basically limit development within proximity to creeks. So that is an outstanding item that will also probably get looked at as part of the local coastal program process. And then a land use designation change for an unaddressed parcel on Via Harrow Road that's out in kind of western Goleta. And that would be a land use change to allow a battery storage project. So that's another one in process. So that's kind of the status of amendments over the 2024. And then, as Ann mentioned, that's kind of the first part of the report. The second part of the report is how we're implementing various elements of our general plan. There's a lot in the report that summarizes the different efforts the city has undertaken. So this is just a couple snapshots. We like to put in like park projects and CIPs because those are often kind of really exciting things that the community gets to really experience. So those are typically the ones we like to flag in this part of the presentation. So one of the items in the general plan is OSIA-5, which is preparation of individual park development and/or management plans. So between Public Works and Neighborhood Services, there's a lot going on in the city to implement this piece of the general plan. So just a couple things we flagged to highlight are a lot of efforts going on in Elwood, the Elwood Butterfly Groves, a lot of work removing dead and down eucalyptus, replanting of eucalyptus, including community events for planting, and then the fuel reduction effort, which is a lot of that removing the dead fuels. I mean, there's also irrigation lines that have been built to address drought conditions in the future. So a lot going on in Elwood. Also highlighted the ongoing effort, several ongoing efforts at Johnny D. Wallace Park in Old Town, including the installation of kind of the last phase of that park, which would be the splash pad. We also like to highlight the transportation element TEIA-2, which is the capital improvements program. And so in fiscal year 24-25, which would be half in 2024, half of 2025, there were 27 CIP projects with a five-year budget of $709 million, so a lot going on. And also, Public Works always likes to emphasize the total budget and the unfunded portion of those CIPs. So a lot going on and a lot of costs associated with those projects. Some of the highlights included the community garden at Armadillo's Park, just north of Johnny D. Wallace, so a lot going on in Old Town there. And the Project Connect, which is really a multi-project effort in Old Town, which includes the restriping and the parking along Hollister, but also the bridge replacement on Hollister, which has a significant impact on the 100-year floodplain in Old Town, as well as the Equal and Fowler Road extensions south of Hollister. So really a huge undertaking that the city has been going through in 2024. When you look at the report, the housing element summary takes up a huge chunk of the report. It's certainly the lengthiest element in the general plan, and there's a lot of lot of information in there. I did want to note that, you know, the rezoning gets a lot of attention with the housing element adoption, but there's a lot of programs beyond the rezoning that need implementation. So we have an internal team with, I think, three different divisions in the planning, as well as staff from Neighborhood Services and the city manager's office that meets monthly to check in, making sure we have the responsibilities designated and that we're working towards meeting the commitments we made in that housing element. And so I think the report shows all the effort on various fronts to address housing issues within the city. One thing we like to highlight here is the ribbon cutting at Buena Tierra, which is a 60-unit supportive housing project at the corner of Fairview and Hollister. That project received new tenants in 2024, so that was a real major achievement. The city supported that project throughout, including with city funding. And so you see the mayor, among others, at the ribbon cutting there. But again, we're happy to answer any questions about any of these items, but there's a lot of detail about housing element implementation in the report. One of the other major pieces of the annual progress report is the actual data on housing. And we track this a couple different ways, one of which we like to always note the total number of units built, and when you mean built, that we mean final inspection, which means it's ready for someone to permanently, you know, live in that unit. And in 2024, we had 88 total units, so that includes Buena Tierra. And that's why you see such a large number of very low units, because those the Buena Tierra units fall under very low. So that really made a huge contribution to the new units that where residents could reside this year. You know, Ann mentioned RENA. So for RENA tracking purposes, what we look at is a slightly different metric. It's building permit issuance. So that essentially is kind of the last permit you need before you can go vertical with actual building construction. And so that's how we track, for RENA purposes, how we're doing in the eight-year housing cycle. So the numbers are a little bit lower when you count it that way, because the Buena Tierra units fall off because those are counted for building permit issuance in 2023. So we had a total of 38 units in 2024, and I know we'll touch on this in a subsequent slide, but they were all ADUs. So that has really been the generator of late on our housing counts. And you'll see, you know, we're still... you know, our target is 1837, and we still need 1705 over the remaining several years of our housing cycle. So just a couple highlights on the housing production. Buena Tierra got their final building permit, and which is their certificate of occupancy. Did want to highlight Heritage Ridge, which is a really large project that has been approved, and you know, for those that come to City Hall, it's just down up as you go up to the 101. A lot of grading activity has occurred, so kind of the, you know, from that perspective, the project has begun, but they haven't pulled building permits yet. That building permit issuance has not occurred, so we haven't counted it in either of those previous tables yet. But that's a large project that we expect to see, you know, fairly soon. In the city. And then again, highlighting accessory dwelling units, ADUs. I think I did not spell that one out. Accessory dwelling units, ADUs, that's really been a large producer of housing the last few years for us. And we saw an uptick in 2024 in terms of people coming in for approvals for accessory dwelling units. So that is a very quick summary of the report. Again, there's a lot of material. We're certainly happy to answer any questions you might have. There may be some things from other departments that we may have to come back with information on, but we're happy to field any questions. And what we're asking of the Planning Commission tonight is recommending to City Council that they approve the report and instruct, as part of that would be an instruction to staff to submit it to the state, which we must do by April 1st under state law. So that's why we're here. The resolution is in your packet as attachment one, and that report is an exhibit to that attachment. But we are at this point, we're happy to answer any questions you may have.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Newkirk. Do we have any questions for staff? No questions. Commissioner Penniman?
Yeah, a couple questions. There's a lot in there. You guys did a lot of great work this last year. And the report, just in alone, like you said, looks like it took a lot of time to put together. So I appreciate that work from the team. You know, 132 houses total over the past 3 years. And we have to get to like 18 something in 8 years. Is this going to be good enough for the state as far as like we're making progress? I know they're the ones mandating that we take this. Is this showing enough progress for them?
Chair and Commissioner, relevant question. And the total that the remaining RENA or regional housing need allocation is 1,705 because we got some knocked off from the that came online from the last planning cycle. And the state's not measuring us annually except until we get halfway into the housing cycle. And then they will. The good thing that we're doing that most jurisdictions have a very hard time delivering on, and I don't know if anyone will really be able to deliver on the very low income housing, that the numbers that were allocated statewide were just way high. And some might if they have a lot of funding set aside for it, but we did a lot of good work in the very low and low. So it's still a long ways to go, but the fact we're chipping away at it, and there's, you know, we're hoping that some of our rezone sites are going to deliver something really big. And, you know, it takes a while for, once a rezone happens, for a property owner to work with a team to design and something that they could come in and submit applications on. But we've previously met before we did the rezones with all of the property owners, and except for maybe one. But we met with them, and there's genuine interest, and so we're hoping that we'll get something really like moving along halfway through our planning cycle. Because again, it just does take a while to get the funding together for a big project. So we're not there yet as far as the question of are we going to satisfy?
Sure, they're not going to check us till halfway through. And are we supposed to be at half that number halfway through? Is that the goal?
Well, I mean, theoretically, but you know, we'll make the case that we rezoned a lot of sites, that we've been building low and very low, and that's still like that. And that, and if we, hopefully, you know, we will have some product, we already do right now, have projects in the pipeline, and so we'll make a case for it, and it's up to HCD, and we'll see what happens.
Chair and Commissioner Penniman, just to add to Ms. Wall's response, which I think was completely accurate and thorough, we've done at least six planning consultations on housing element rezone sites, and we just received our first application on one of those sites last week. So we're starting to see that what is beginning as a trickle will likely turn into a flood of new housing applications consistent with our adopted housing element, and I would frankly be surprised if we did not stay on track for the RENA cycle and meet the target at the mid-cycle.
I appreciate that. That's more for my information than anything. I appreciate it.
Thank you, and thank you, Mr. Imhoff. Any other questions? I just had a couple questions. First for Kenwood Village. It was rezoned, so why does it stay pending? Because they're not going to go backwards, right?
Yeah, I think just because I'm not sure if the request for the GPA has been withdrawn. Effectively, it's been rezoned for housing already. But it's just lingered in there because of that.
Okay, thanks. And my next question is on the safety element. Has there been any discussion about looking at that more closely now with the new battery storage facility and the fire that happened up north. I know that was kind of late in the year, but I remember when that came to the Planning Commission, we discussed the safety, but that kind of giant fire was never raised. Is that something that is in more discussion now, especially with the potential of a second facility?
So there's, as part of like the safety element updates that we flagged as part of a pending GPA, no. That project is really tailored to very specific requirements of state law. I know in our work program, there's a future work program item to look at a comprehensive battery storage approach. But beyond that, not at this time.
Okay, thanks. And then one other question. I don't know if you guys have an answer for this, but do you know, with all the rezones, have any of the potential projects like requested water rights yet? Do you know if the Goleta Water District has given out any new water rights?
We're not aware of any. That usually happens, the actual allocation usually happens pretty late in a project. So there's like provisional can well serve and then the allocation occurs later. That's something that as part of the Goleta Water District board meetings, they have usually on consent, but they'll have like a couple tables of like requests and new allocations. So it can be tracked through the water district agendas, but I'm not sure about any specific projects at this point.
Chair Fullerton, we would normally see those, as Mr. Newkirk indicated, when applications come in the door to us. And then there's kind of a two-step process at the water district where they seek essentially a letter of water service availability from the water district. And they can't get the actual water allotment until they get the entitlements from the local government. Then they go back and get that can and will serve letter with that entitlement and once they've paid their fees. We're, again, just kind of waiting for those developments to come in the door, and we'll be interested to see when they come in. But we would require that letter of water service availability initially. And until then, the main source is the one that Mr. Newkirk mentioned. You can go onto their website and check and see they're tracking exactly how much water they've allotted relative to their capacity.
Okay, thanks. That is my questions. Do we have any other questions? Okay, then do we have any public comment on this item?
Chair Fullerton, I do not have any speaker slips, but if there are any members of the Zoom webinar who wish to speak, please raise your hand and we'll call on you. And we don't have anybody on Zoom.
Okay, then we'll close public comment and go to deliberations. Do we have any comments? Commissioner Penniman.
I would just say again, there's a lot of good work that went in this and across the city, and I know it's a team effort, but nice work. Thanks for the presentation. It's good that you know we're showing our progress to the state, and I have no qualms with recommending this.
Hey, Vice Chair Miller.
Yes, I echo that. Thank you so much to everyone involved for the comprehensive report. It memorializes, you know, all of the work. You know, we just see the bits and pieces and this and that as they come, you know, into the system, so to speak. But it's wonderful to just have this history book almost, you know, this current history novel what is going on in the city of Goleta. And I think, you know, really it's when people say, gosh, government moves slowly. Well, you know, yeah, it does. Certain cities move slower than others, but I am really, really proud of the city of Goleta and everything they've accomplished this past year. You know, I think that we've done it with diplomacy and respect and you know, kindness and listening to other people's views on certain things. Certainly not everything's been to everyone's liking, but I think that on the whole, I think the work that we've done here in the city in the recent times, certainly since COVID, you know, kind of went away. I know it never goes away, but, you know, since we were got back to some normalcy, you know, it's really great to look at this comprehensive report and go, okay, good. You know, we done good. Let's pat ourselves on the back. So anyway, so obviously I'm supporting recommending the city council approve it. Thank you.
Okay. Do we have any other comments? No?
I just want to agree with what Commissioner Miller said. That's an exhaustive report. And obviously, I can see where it took a lot of people, you know, to put it all together. But I can also see that from where we are and where we need to go, there's a lot of work coming down the pike. So I would approve it, yeah.
Mike, sorry, can we get a motion? Commissioner Pennyman?
A motion that we approve it.
You have to read.
Oh my goodness. I signed up for that.
That's why I'm so all right. Quiet.
I move that we adopt resolution number 25, entitled A Resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Goleta, California, recommending to the City Council approval of the General Plan Coastal Land Use Plan 2024 Progress Report for submittal to the government's Office of Land Use and Climate Innovation and California Department of Housing and Community Development, and finding the report to be exempt from the California Environmental Quality Act.
Do we have a second?
I second.
Can we get a roll call vote?
Yes. Commissioner Maynard?
Yes.
Commissioner Pennyman?
Yes.
Commissioner Sorotkin?
Yes.
Vice Chair Miller?
Yes.
And Chair Fullerton?
Yes. Okay, motion approved. The next item is Planning Commission comments. Do we have any comments from any of the planning commissioners? No. Okay, then I think the next item is adjournment. Can we get a roll call vote?
I will motion to adjourn.
Sorry, a motion and then a second. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
You have to use your mic. Use your mic.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, can we get, sorry, a roll call vote?
Commissioner Maynard?
Yes.
Commissioner Pennyman?
Yes.
Commissioner Sorotkin?
Yes.
Vice Chair Miller?
Yes.
And Chair Fullerton?
Yes. Okay, motion approved. So now we are adjourned.